Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the City Council meeting, December 4th, 2023. I'm going to ask everyone, as you can, to stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, Sheila. Will you call the roll?
Mr. Foster.
Here.
Mr. Waterman.
Here.
Ms. Peters.
Here.
Ms. Buffalo. Mr. Knoth.
Here.
Ms. Prophet.
Here.
Mr. Lovelady.
Here.
For those of you who might be confused, I am not Barbara Buffalo. Our mayor is in Dubai, where she is representing the U.S. Conference of Mayors at the COP28 conference. She's been asked to speak at numerous panels and meetings at the conference, and so Columbia this week is on the international stage. Just want to make a point, because I've seen this otherwise, that the city does not bear any expense for her trip to Dubai, and that is being covered completely by the U.S. Conference of Mayors. Public has the opportunity to speak on items during public hearing, old business, and new business portions of the agenda. We ask that when commenting during these portions, that comments are kept to the legislation being discussed. At the end of the meeting, we have general comments on anything that was already discussed in this agenda or any other topic. You will be given 3 minutes as an individual and may request 5 minutes if representing an organization affected by the item. Only one speaker for each organization will be allowed 5 minutes. I'm going to ask that you please respect the time limit so everyone has the opportunity to speak. There is some disagreement tonight, as on any night. I'll ask that we not applaud, snap, boo, or do anything in a demonstrative way that would distract or intimidate someone else who would like to speak. Please do not attack people. This includes city staff. We will disagree on issues and topics, but we need to show respect for one another as we disagree. If someone should interrupt the meeting or yell from the audience, I will give a warning to stop if it continues. Those interrupting may be asked to leave the building, and we'll take a 5-minute recess. Sheila, you have sent out minutes for everyone. Has everyone on the council had an opportunity to review the minutes? Okay, with that, I just would like to make a motion that we approve the November 20, 2023 regular meeting minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Lovelady. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Anyone opposed, say no. We also received minutes from the November 27, 2023 special meeting. I'll move that we approve those minutes as presented to us. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Waterman. All those in favor say yes.
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 Anyone opposed, say no. All right. Couple of things to explain before we finalize the agenda. B-292-23 will be moved from the consent agenda to old business at the request of a citizen. And then I would also like to move R-198-23 from the consent to new business. I'll move these two. Does anyone else have a change to the agenda that they would like to make? Okay, I'll move these two changes as I've expressed them and ask for a second.
Second.
All those in favor to the agenda as changed, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed, say no. All right. We have three special items tonight, and the first one is the oath of office to our newly appointed Ward 2 City Council member, Rachel Prophet. I'll ask Rachel to join me and the city clerk at the podium.
I, Rachel Prophet,
do solemnly swear
that I possess all qualifications
for the office of Ward 2 council member
for the city of Columbia, Missouri,
that I am not subject
to any of the
To any of the disqualifications.
Set forth in the Charter.
Set forth in the Charter.
Of the City of Columbia.
Of the City of Columbia.
That I will support the Constitution.
That I will support the Constitution.
And laws of the United States.
And laws of the United States.
And of the State of Missouri.
And of the State of Missouri.
And the Charter and ordinances.
And the Charter and ordinances.
Of the City of Columbia.
Of the City of Columbia.
And that I will faithfully discharge.
And that I will faithfully discharge.
The duties of my office.
The duties of my office.
So help me God.
So help me God.
And I have a copy of your commission here for you to keep. Congratulations, Rachel. Rachel, we spoke about this before. If you have some words you'd like to share with us, now is a good time.
Just very briefly, I would like to thank all of you for your faith in me and taking on this position. I'm excited, nervous, and ready to begin. The rest of my family could be with me. My parents are here tonight. However, the stomach bug took down the other three members of my family. So please wash your hands and mask if you need to. So thank you, and I look forward to the next 4 months serving for Ward 2.
Well, welcome, Rachel. You have a lot of support up here and in other places all through the city structure. So we're looking forward to working with you. There is now another special item, that is the swearing in of Jill Schlute as the police chief of the City of Columbia. I'm going to ask the city clerk and the city manager to go to the podium and meet her there.
I, Jill Schlute,
Do solemnly swear
that I possess all qualifications
for the office of police chief
for the city of Columbia, Missouri
that I am not subject
to any of the disqualifications
set forth in the charter
of the city of Columbia
that I will support the Constitution
and laws of the United States,
and of the state of Missouri,
and the charter and ordinances
of the city of Columbia,
and that I will faithfully discharge
the duties of my office.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Chief.
Thank you.
We hope all the very best and all the success in the world. Our community as a whole is dependent on that. One more special item. It is a check presentation by Leland Rehard from the Columbia Trail Association, and this is associated with the Gans Creek Recreation Area. I'll ask Mr. Rehard to come to the podium to speak, and I'll be joining you there.
Come up to the podium, Mayor. Okay, thank you. My name is Leon Rehard. I am the president of the Como Trail Association. I also have my vice president, Nate Smith, and treasurer, Andy Schutte, here with me this evening. We are a local non-for-profit that was founded in 2018 to build, maintain, and advocate for natural surface trails in the Columbia, Missouri area. We represent mountain bikers, trail users, and hikers who are interested in seeing these amenities grow and be improved here in Columbia. To that end, we are fully supportive of the Gans Creek Recreation Project that will be coming to Council on December 18th. This project brings a much-needed amenity to Columbia, which is beginner-friendly trails that are appropriate for folks wanting to get out and to explore the outdoors, whether it be on a bike, hiking, or running, and also appropriate for adaptive bikes as well. We've been extremely pleased with the process from Columbia Parks and Recreation, and to that end, we would like to donate $30,000 towards the design of this project, which will hopefully start next spring. So we've got a check for you, and we'd love to hand that over to you. I think Gabe's got the actual one, but we'd love to get a picture of you.
Getting my steps in. Accepting a check is great. Anytime on a Monday. Right, we have no appointments to boards and commissions tonight, and I understand that the folks who had signed up for scheduled public comment have withdrawn that for now, but just to be sure, I want to be sure that neither is here. Connie Benson, did she happen to come? And then Jordan Hegg. Okay, I think they may have an opportunity to speak on another occasion. We also have no public hearings tonight, so we'll move directly to old business. And Sheila, I'll ask you to read 2B-28623.
Council Bill 28623 is an ordinance approving a major amendment to the PD plan for the Village of Cherry Hill, Lot 3B, located on the east side of Corona Road and north of Flagstone Drive, and fixing the time when this ordinance shall become effective. Second reading.
Okay, and I think we have a staff report.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem, and good evening. I'm Tim Teddy, Community Development Director. And I'll state right up top that we did receive via email Friday a request from the applicant's attorney saying that they request that this item be tabled to March 18th, 2024, and that would also allow council to remand this item, which would mean to refer it back to the Planning and Zoning Commission in February for a hearing. They'd like to present some information that, unfortunately, we were contributory to some inaccurate information that was shared from the staff, and I'll get into that as part of my staff report, as well as perhaps address some other issues in greater detail. So what this is, Village of Cherry Hill, I'm sure most everybody knows it. It's classified as a plan development, which means the council has approved various site plans for its development, and that's a requirement of the ordinance. It's mostly developed back in 1989 when it was first approved as a commercial development. It was described as traditional neighborhood design. It's a very innovative, distinctive community. There's also a residential community around it that is called the Village of Cherry Hill. What we're talking about is what I'll refer to as the mixed-use portion, and that was originally zoned a category called CP, which is Planned Business District. So now we refer to all of our planned districts as simply planned development. So the particular lot here is one of just a couple of areas in this mixed-use development that have not been developed yet. And this one's referred to as Lot 3B, B as in busy. And it's about 18,000 square feet. And this developer owner is requesting a plan revision from what had been approved for Cherry Hill for this lot to a multifamily residential building that would have 24 dwelling units, and those are to be split into, believe, 12 one-bedroom, 12 two-bedroom. And what we had presented in our summary to the Planning and Zoning Commission when they met on this in October is that the last plan amendment had a building there that was 10,000 square feet that had been approved, obviously not built, with 10,000 square feet total, of which the first floor is retail, and then there'd be four apartment units above it. The fact is that I, as the community development director, had approved a so-called minor amendment, which means by administrative action I had approved that that lot to have 10 dwelling units in a building and no retail. So both are allowed uses. Didn't view them as required uses on any particular lot. So here are overall site plans for Cherry Hill, and I'm just going to point out in 2013 that's how the lot 3B looked, where I'm moving the cursor right now. And then in 2014, after that second minor amendment, you can see they look about the same. That's because in plan view they were basically the same, a building with a parking lot north of it and a parking lot south of it. However, the use mix had changed and there was an incremental increase in size in that building in authorized in 2014. This is an overview of the Cherry Hill development. So again, you can see it was developed as this traditional neighborhood center with mixed use and residential buildings lining the main streets through it. It's got a focal point in that it has this green space town square. That's a lot one, that a portion of lot one that's been consolidated, so that's still awaiting development. And then we have down here 3B, and in 2013 the minor amendment had actually addressed also this lot 3C, which has since been developed as a building called the Gables, and that's a residential building. And you can see it as a portion of parking lot that was planned to connect these two streets and provide parking to both lots.
Yeah. Before you continue, if the council's intention is to remand it back to the Planning and Zoning Commission, it may not be necessary for you to finish your staff report.
Oh, okay. Do you want just an explanation of the remand then?
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay, I beg your pardon. I thought you wanted me to get into some of the details. All right. So I'll just go through this. And so let me just get to the recommendation that's coming to you from the Planning and Zoning Commission on October 19th. They voted 3 in favor, 5 against a motion to approve this. And so the motion failed. So it's really a vote of 5-3 to deny the plan changes. And then, as I said up top, staff had incorrectly presented that the 2013 amendment was actually the latest revised plan. And I feel a responsibility for that, so I'm sorry that that happened. I should have been more alert to the fact that those facts were not complete as presented. And so the plan was, in fact, amended again. So the commission didn't have the benefit of this, and there was some discussion of the loss of retail as being a concern. So that would be a reason for them being able to hear this staff report and applicant testimony with the facts set straight. And then, so the applicant's requesting a remand. This updates what we had said in our supplemental memo, that they'd like this tabled such that it comes back before council on the 18th of March next year. And what that would mean is we would schedule it for Planning and Zoning Commission February 22nd.
Okay, so February 22nd and then come to council in March, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah. Assuming they make a recommendation on the 22nd of February,
right,
you'll get it on the 18th.
Okay. Any questions of Mr. Teddy from council? Okay. in light of that and in light of the request, I'm just going to move here in a moment that we remand this back to planning and zoning as staff recommends and as has been requested. So I'll make that motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Betsy. All those in favor say aye.
What was your motion again?
That we remand this back to planning and zoning as recommended by staff and as requested by the applicant.
And then can you also table the bill to March 18th?
And that the bill be tabled to March 18th.
And then, Betsy, are you good with that?
Yes, I'm good with that.
All right, good. All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed by no? Thank you, Mr. Teddy. We'll move on, but I apologize to anyone who may have come tonight with the intention of talking about this matter. I'll encourage you to follow what happens in planning and zoning and then come see us again in March. All right. Sheila, will you read Bill 28823?
Council Bill 28823 is an ordinance authorizing acceptance of the FY 2022 Safe Streets and Roads for All SS4A grant from the U.S. Department of Transportation to fund projects and activities associated with the Vision Zero program, amending the FY 2024 annual budget by appropriating funds and fixing the time when this ordinance shall become effective. Second reading.
All right. Do we have a staff report?
Yes. Shane Creech, Public Works Director. This grant would fund several Vision Zero planning projects, including a highway safety manual analysis of several CATSO planned projects. Staff has already moved forward on 18 roadways and intersections in preparation for the 2025 capital improvement sales tax discussions. This funding would be available should other locations be determined to need study as part of that process or as conditions warrant. Another project is an update of the city's Vision Zero high injury network analysis. This will be used to identify locations we can have the most impact in improving safety. A comprehensive re-examination of the city's complete street policies. This will require hiring a consultant. The consultant will be provided Local Motion's proposed livable streets policy reference material. We also anticipate a council resolution at a future meeting in support of this project. A comprehensive examination of signals for leading pedestrian intervals. A leading pedestrian interval gives pedestrians the opportunity to enter the crosswalk at an intersection 3 to 7 seconds before vehicles are given a green indication. The Go Como Comprehensive Transit Route Study. This study was fully funded by other means prior to the grant award. However, this funding could be used for additional similar work should that become necessary following the finalization of the study later this fiscal year. And the last project is the creation of a pedestrian level of comfort map for the city. This would allow community members to compare the ease of using various sidewalks, street crossings, and trails in the city. The city was one of 473 communities nationwide to receive a Safe Streets for All grant. Grant totals in the amount of a little over $1.4 million. The federal funds require a local match of 20% for a total funding of $1.8 million. The city's match will be funded by the quarter cent capital improvement sales tax or other eligible sources. The city also has an application in for round two money in this grant program. Richard Stone, the engineering manager, is with me tonight, and we're happy to answer any questions you might have.
Questions from council? Betsy?
My question is just who's overseeing all of these studies?
Sure. It'll be Public Works staff. Vision Zero coordinator will do most of that, who works for Richard. So.
Just to clarify, is this a new grant or a grant we're getting again?
The Safe Streets for All grant was a new grant for round one that we applied for and received this money. We spent that time since the notice of award working towards this agreement that we have before you tonight. Since that time, they've come out with a round two money, which we've also applied for. Haven't heard back from them.
Thank you.
Can you say more about what round two is and what that will include?
Sure. Well, I could tell you what we applied for. There's a lot of grants, at least in my experience, that is kind of all or nothing. You apply for something and you either get what you asked for or you don't get anything at all. With these particular grants, we asked for much more than we received in round one. So what I went through tonight was just the stuff that, based on the analysis when we submitted that application, this is what they awarded to us and what projects they awarded to us. As far as what we applied for in round two, we applied for the Clark Lane reconstruction project from Creekwood Parkway to Ballinger. We applied for a demonstration project on high friction surface treatment, mid-block crosswalks installation on a couple of locations along Elm Street, some money for our ADA transition plan, road safety audit money, which is, we did a road safety audit on Parrish Road, so doing an additional road safety audit in a location. So, and there's some other planning type projects that are in here, but those are kind of the big ticket items that we applied for.
So the grant we're talking about tonight is really for planning. Round two would be perhaps more project oriented. Is that accurate to say, although it may include some planning as well?
Potentially. It's what projects as part of that review process by Federal Highway that they decide to award to us. So it's by project. So we had construction type projects in round one, but we weren't given any of those. We were given planning projects. So what they come back with, you know, remains to be seen, or if we get anything at all. So.
Okay. Any other questions? Is there anyone from the public that would like to speak to B-288-23? Please come to the podium. Identify yourself and the ward in which you live.
My name is Lawrence Simonson. I live in the first ward. I'm representing Local Motion. Local Motion started advocating for Vision Zero policy to the city in about 2016 and into 2017. I think the council at that time did a very good job in kind of looking into the future and what the federal government was going to be looking to be funding as it came to federal transportation dollars. And so, but not only that, I think that the city staff, after Vision Zero was adopted, really took Vision Zero by the horns and have done a fantastic job. At the time, we were one of the first 25 cities to adopt Vision Zero in the United States. I think our city staff does a phenomenal job as I look across the country and work with other communities. The stuff our staff is doing with Vision Zero is much further along than many other cities are doing. And so I congratulate them on that work. I also congratulate them on the huge lift that they did to apply for this funding. With this great job that they've been doing, I think this is a great stamp of approval by the federal government saying, keep it up, keep doing what you're doing. So I urge the council to accept these funds to allow the staff to continue doing the great work that they're doing. Thank you.
Would anyone else from the public like to speak to Bill 288-23?
Susan Renee Carter, Ward 2. I agree with the, you know, accepting the funding from these grants, but I do want to take you back to the information I provided at the last council meeting on the comprehensive transit study open house. And the concerns that I had that are listed on page 3, 1 through 5, I won't name all of those off because this is about the funding, but I had some real concerns about the transit study and the data that they used in order to come to their conclusions rather than digging deeper. So I want to refer you back to that, and I can resend that out if you've misplaced it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public like to speak to Bill 288-23? All right, we'll come back to council. Anyone else, anyone from the council have another question or a comment? Nick Knoth.
I just want to add that I appreciate the work done by staff to get this grant done. And I know it's never an easy thing to apply for a grant, no matter how many times those of us on council say, oh, we should do more grants. It's one thing for us to say, it's another thing for staff to actually execute and do it successfully. So I am deeply appreciative of that, and keep up the good work.
All right. Anyone else? Sheila, will you call the roll?
Council Bill 28823, Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Waterman?
Yes.
Ms. Peters?
Yes.
Mr. Canove?
Yes.
Ms. Prophet?
Yes.
Mr. Lovelady?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Sheila, will you read Bill 29523?
Council Bill 29523 is an ordinance amending the FY 2024 annual budget to appropriate funds for the Phase 2 construction of the Columbia Sports Fieldhouse Improvement Project located in A. Perry Phillips Park and fixing the time when this ordinance shall become effective. Second reading.
All right. Gabe, I think you're here for a staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Foster. Gabe Huffington, Parks and Recreation Director. The Department of Parks and Recreation is requesting an appropriation of funds for Phase 2 construction of the Columbia Sports Fieldhouse. City Council approved the Phase 2 construction on May 15th of 2023 with a total estimated budget of $5.8 million. Our project budget was established as part of the 2021 park sales tax renewal, so we started to look at this number in summer of 2021 for that renewal that took place in November of 2021. Our project budget includes all expenses for architectural engineering services, Phase 2 building construction, parking lot construction, utilities installation, and then also the extension of Phillips Farm Road for a little under 300 feet. Our appropriation request revolves around our total estimated project cost to date. Right now, we are at about $9.7 million, and our current project balance has $5.2 million approximately in there. Our department is requesting an appropriation of $4.5 million. This would include $2 million from the park sales tax fund balance, and then also a $2.5 million loan from the city's designated loan fund. Our project budget looks a little bit like this. So we have bid this project to the city's purchasing department. The base bid is with Prost Builders, and that is about $7.9 million. We have some bid alternates with Prost Builders as well that total about $450,000. This includes some additional grading that is to the exterior of the building, and then also some improvements that will mirror Phase 1 to Phase 2. So we talk about refinishing concrete floors, refinishing the wood floors that are in Phase 1 to match Phase 2. And so it's important for us to take those bid alternates so that we can mirror those two buildings when we open it together. We also have some utility installation totaling about $275,000. This includes sewer, water, and some electrical cost. Our parking and road construction is about $650,000. This includes the parking lots for the facility, but then it also includes part of Phillips Farm Road. So there's a developer that is going to do the rest of it, but we as a Parks Department and the city will have a portion of that road. And then this also establishes a 5% contingency for the project. So since 2021, the cost of construction, ranging from material cost to labor expenses, has increased exponentially across all trades. So this gives you a little bit of comparison between 2018 and 2023 between Phase 1 of the building and Phase 2. So when we actually look at the construction of Phase 1 of the building, it's about $113 a square foot. In 2023, that is about $173 a square foot. So that cost is much higher in 2023. When you break that down a little bit further and we actually look at portions of the building, the pre-engineered metal building in 2018 was about $1.29 million, and in 2023, it's about $2.18 million. So there is an increase of about $893,000. And then just in HVAC installation, when you look at that, there's an additional $500,000 expense. So we have seen these costs grow and increase since we originally established the budget for the project. And then after we bid it, we can now have some comparative numbers. In terms of the dollars, so there's $2 million that come from the park sales tax fund balance. Those are funds that we have available that we would transfer, but then we would also request $2.5 million from the city's designated loan fund. This was established in 1976. It allows the city to make loans to other various enterprise intergovernmental service funds within the city. Our current designated loan balance is $6.78 million. And what we do as a loan recipient, we'll pay interest rates equivalent to bonds in the private market. So for this loan of $2.5 million, that'll be about 4.83%. In terms of the loan that we are requesting, we plan to pay that back over 10 years with the dedicated 1/8 cent park sales tax that is for capital improvements. So this is an annual payment of approximately $316,000.
An example of previous use by the department was for the Phase 1 development of Clary Shy Community Park and the MU Healthcare Pavilion. We had a five-year loan within the designated loan fund, about $1.2 million, and that was from FY 2019 to FY 2023. Another question that was asked, but this loan does not impact any funding for other projects that are associated with the 2021 park sales tax implementation schedule. So it's important for us to fund the rest of this building in this manner so that we do not impact other projects that are promised within all the other wards in the city of Columbia. So at this time, staff is requesting approval to amend the FY 2024 annual budget to appropriate funds totaling $4.5 million for the construction of Phase 2 of the Columbia Sports Fieldhouse. And Matthew and I are happy to answer any questions you may have.
Okay. Thank you, Gabe. Questions from council?
I had a couple, but he had addressed them in the presentation.
Yeah. For me, I did not realize that the city had a revolving loan fund. So this is another place where I'm being educated. I did ask by email if this would have an impact on any of the projects for Parks and Recreation, and you assured me that it would not, that those are covered yep. in funding by other means. So, you know, this strikes me as shocking, but not surprising, which is the opposite of the way things like that usually work. We're so used to, it seems like we're getting used to being surprised by the shocking increase in the cost of items, so it's not surprising in that sense. Any other questions from council right now? Would anyone from the public like to speak on B-295-23? Seeing none, I'll come back to the council one more time. Anything, Betsy?
I just have a comment. Thank you for finally moving forward on this. I know it's, I've been around long enough that I was here for the first phase of the sports field house, and then I know the second phase got sort of hung up for a little while, but I'm glad it's moving forward. I'm sorry it's costing more money, but I'm glad you all have figured out some way to pay for it.
Thank you.
Anything else from council? Don?
Yeah, I would just ask the presentation that you just went through. Could I get a copy of that?
Yes.
Got some details in there that I could use.
Happy to share that.
Thank you.
Just share it with all of council then. Okay. All right. Sheila, will you call the roll on B-295-23?
Council Bill 295-23, Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Waterman?
Yes.
Ms. Peters?
Yes.
Mr. Knoth?
Yes.
Ms. Proffitt?
Yes.
Mr. Lovelady?
Yes.
All right. We are moving now to B-292-23, due to the request of Como Safe Water to bring this to us. This was found formally in the consent agenda, so B-292-23, will you read that for us, please, Sheila?
Council Bill 292-23 is an ordinance authorizing a joint funding agreement for water resource investigations with the U.S. Department of Interior, U.S. Geological Survey, for hydrological monitoring of well sites in the vicinity of the McBain Wetland Treatment Units and the Eagle Bluffs Conservation Area, and fixing the time when this ordinance shall become effective. Second reading.
Thank you, Sheila. We have a staff report.
Good evening, David Sorrell, Director of Utilities. This is continuation of a groundwater monitoring that we've been doing since 1992. When the city and the Missouri Department of Conservation was going to build Eagle Bluffs, the city was going to build their constructed wetlands unit. We partnered with USGS to do monitoring in the alluvial aquifer at McBain to determine if those facilities have a negative impact on the aquifer. And we've continued to do that since. And so this basically continues that work. In the past several years when we've done this, we've just gotten raw data. We haven't had an actual official publication report from the USGS in several years, so we've actually incorporated that into this phase. So they're going to look back at all the data that we have up through now and actually provide an in-depth analysis for us. They're going to monitor groundwater elevations more frequently than they have in the last several years. And they're also going to add PFAS to a constituent to test for in the aquifer. The purpose of this basically is to inform us if our wetlands or Eagle Bluffs begin to negatively impact the aquifer so that we can take actions to ensure that we have a safe drinking water.
So So this is a continuation of an agreement we already have, but it's evolved over time.
It's evolved over time. It's a new agreement, but it's continuation of a monitoring program that's been going on since 1992.
Okay. Other questions from council? Would anyone from the public like to speak to B-292-23?
Hello, respectfully request 5 minutes for, as an organization, Julie Ryan, Como Safe Water Coalition from Ward 5. And the reason I really want to talk about this tonight is because I've read all these USGS reports going back for a long time, 2008, when some of these were first brought up. We're gonna spend $400,000 to keep going with this, which I am completely in support of, yet nothing we're doing at the water treatment plant is going to have any impact with what we know from these reports. So we have wastewater treatment wetlands, right? We have the wastewater treatment effluent that comes from our wastewater treatment plant. That effluent, which is the discharge that is treated, comes down into our well fields. We have the Missouri River on the other side. Both of those things impact our well fields, which is where we pull our drinking water from. And I want everybody to think about that. I've been to our well fields. I've been to our water treatment plant many times. And if you have not been there, I highly encourage you to do that, to see where our drinking water comes from. We've explained before that this cone of depression has been forming. USGS has told us this. It's happening under our well fields. It's hydraulically pulling all of this stuff into our drinking water aquifer. That aquifer is recharged by all of this impact. We look at chloride measurements, and some of that's in this USGS proposal. We want to see something under 40 milligrams per liter. We're seeing secondary maximum contaminant level numbers of over 250 milligrams per liter. That tells us that effluent is coming in. So again, not that we don't want this proposal to go forward, we want action. Simple action. The numbers are here to tell us. Wastewater indicator and pharmaceutical compounds indicative of treated effluent were detected in groundwater quality samples from 2018 to 2022. This is from the report. Of those 187 total compounds, 54 compounds were detected over the course of the last 5 years. The following analytes were detected in groundwater samples: carbamazepine, that treats seizures and bipolar disorders; carisoprodol, that's a muscle relaxant; gabapentin, that treats seizures; lidocaine, that's an anesthetic; meprobamate, that's an anti-anxiety medication; DEET, which is an insect repellent at low toxicity via dermal route, but in large enough doses can be neurotoxic through oral exposure or inhalation; and warfarin, an anticoagulant that treats and prevents blood clots. This indicates the migration and mixing of treated effluent with groundwater flowing is coming through the alluvial aquifer. It is the potential for groundwater migration from locations, and this is from the report, near Unit 1 in Eagle Bluffs, treated effluent discharge areas toward the city municipal well field. I don't know what else to say anymore to get everybody to understand that this is a problem. We're going to continue to collect this data, but the water treatment plan isn't going to do anything to fix this. We're not going to impact our drinking water quality. I'm positively, I guess, encouraged that we might see actual reports. I've asked for those for years. I've dug on the USGS website. So trying to get those reports that the public can actually look at and that we collectively can say, this is the problem we're facing here and this is what we're gonna do about it. That's all we've been asking for 7 years. As that aquifer continues to be recharged, we are impacting the public health of generations to come. And if that water treatment plant cannot take this into account, what are we doing? The things that we struggle with here in Columbia, crime, housing, public transportation, these are all challenges. And the one thing I can tell you is none of those things happen in isolation. And that is what happens when we talk about these contaminants in our drinking water. None of them happen in isolation. So when we sit there and say that we meet regulations on this and we meet regulations on that, there is no one looking out for the cumulative impact of what all of these environmental toxins do to us. And I know that that sounds like I am calling like a Chicken Little, the sky is falling. But if we don't do something about it, our health is going to tell us what we did. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public like to speak? 292-23.
Chris Jones, Second Ward. I remember the first time I heard Julie speak on it. Carl was sitting up on the dais, and he said some really nasty things to Julie. And I want to know how many times she's going to have to get back up here and before you guys are going to listen to her. But I wasn't planning on speaking on this tonight, but as she was listing off some of the medications that are found in as contaminating the drinking water, I'm actually on one of those as a daily medication right now for one of my many health conditions. And I won't tell you which one, but just know that the side effects on that medication are scary. And so the contamination, so me being on that, that's one thing, I'm having the side effects. But if it's so much that it's in the drinking water for all 120 some odd thousand of us, for it to be in the drinking water as well, we don't want those side effects on everybody. Another one of the chemicals that she said that was in, many studies have found that it has caused the age of puberty to be reduced in females. We have gone from puberty starting in the early teens to many children starting at the age of 8, 9, 10, and they found that one of those chemicals was one of the reasons why. So we need to listen to our experts. She's one of our experts.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak to B-292-23? Council comments? Okay, the direct question still to staff here. So, Dave, I know that you've seen these reports as well, and I'm assuming that the water treatment addresses some of the concerns that we might have about what is in our well water. Is that accurate to say?
You mean with the proposed upgrades to the plant? Or there's no enhanced treatment that's being proposed with those upgrades. But
right.
Yes, we do have some wastewater indicator compounds in the aquifer that's been in all the reports. And our water, people don't like it when we say it, but it does meet all water quality standards for drinking water. And we could do a better job of treating water and remove more than what is the minimum required. And hopefully when they do this and we get the next publication, we'll know if we need to do modifications, maybe to the wastewater plant, maybe to the water plant, or maybe both.
Okay. Anything else from council? Sheila, will you call the roll on 292-23?
Council Bill 292-23, Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Waterman?
Yes.
Ms. Peters?
Yes.
Mr. Knoth?
Yes.
Ms. Prophet?
Yes.
Mr. Lovelady?
Yes.
Sheila, just double checking with you. We're on the consent agenda at this point, correct?
Correct.
All right. Sheila, will you read the items on the consent agenda twice and call the roll?
Items on the consent agenda include Bills 287-23, 289-23, 290-23, 291-23, 293-23, 294-23, 296-23, 297-23, and Resolutions 187-23, 188-23, 189-23, 190-23, 191-23, 192-23, 193-23, 194-23, 195-23, 196-23, 197-23, 199-23, 200-23, and 201-23. Bills 287-23, 289-23, 290-23, 291-23, 293-23, 294-23, 296-23, 297-23, and resolutions 187-23, 188-23, 189-23, 190-23, 191-23, 192-23, and 193-23, 194-23, 195-23, 196-23, 197-23, 199-23, 200-23, and 201-23. Mr. Foster.
Yes.
Mr. Waterman.
Yes.
Ms. Peters.
Yes.
Mr. Knuth.
Yes.
Ms. Prophet.
Yes.
Mr. Lovelady.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. We move to new business. Sheila, will you read Resolution 202-23?
Council Bill 202-23 is a resolution authorizing a memorandum of agreement with Columbia College to provide city employees with certain benefits associated with advanced educational opportunities.
Thank you. Do we have a staff report?
Yes. Good evening, Council. I'm Kathy Baker and Heather Russell with the Human Resources Department. We're very excited and proud to present a memorandum of agreement with Columbia College that offers the following benefits, not only to our employees, but their spouses, domestic partners, and dependents under the age of 25. Columbia College is partnering with us to offer a 15% tuition discount for online and in-seat classes. The prices per credit cover all expenses, including textbooks. They will also help our employees identify additional scholarships and grants, which may be combined with the tuition discount, one-on-one coaching, advising, career mapping, and tutoring. In addition, Columbia College will help us promote internships and advertise job openings. In exchange, the City of Columbia will promote the partnership through press release and distribution of approved materials, both digital and paper. This is a nice complement to our existing tuition reimbursement program, which allows employees to get reimbursed for the cost of eligible formal college credit courses up to $2,500 per fiscal year. I would like to acknowledge that Robert Boone is here on behalf of Columbia College tonight, and so we're really excited to present this for council approval.
Right. Are there any questions from council? This is a new program.
As we previously had an agreement with Columbia College where we had a 10% tuition discount, so this is an increase, and it's expanding not just to our employees, but the covered family members that I mentioned previously.
Okay, so it extends a previously existing program to other possible participants.
Yep, and increases the discount, so it's a very good program for our employees.
Would Don?
It says all books provided at no additional charge. Is that so? That includes textbooks as well as
the 15% reduction? Okay. Yeah. Columbia College has a tuition model, which includes all of their, like, there's no additional lab fees, there's no additional costs for textbooks. So it's an additional benefit because normally books would be extra and on the employee's own dollar.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Would anyone from the public like to speak on R202-23?
My name is Rob Boone. I'm the Associate Vice President for Columbia College. I live in Ward 5 and I work in Ward 1, so I got almost covered. So, no, we're really excited about this renewal program. One of the other things we also add is we build education portfolios too, so working with human resources. We'll ask what their needs are. We'll go back. I'll work with the faculty and the deans, look at our programs, and we'll build a blueprint to help employees who want to upskill down the road. And also, working with HR, if we need to develop a new program that the city might need, then we'll look at that too as well. So we really, I kind of say we're like Burger King. You can have it your way. We're going to treat you the best we can. And we're really excited about this. And actually being here tonight and seeing the Chief of Police sworn in, who's a Columbia College graduate, is kind of icing on the cake. So thank you for your time. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. No pickles for me. Thanks. Anyone else from the public want to speak to R202-23? All right, we'll come back to council. Any other comments or questions regarding this?
It's like a nice benefit.
Indeed. All right, Sheila, will you call the roll on R202-23?
Council Bill 202-23, Mr. Foster.
Yes.
Mr. Waterman?
Yes.
Ms. Peters?
Yes.
Mr. Knoth?
Yes.
Ms. Prophet?
Yes.
Mr. Lovelady?
Yes.
All right, thank you. This next item was moved from consent under new business. Sheila, will you read R-198-23?
Council Bill 198-23 is a resolution authorizing an agreement with the Food Bank for Central and Northeast Missouri Incorporated for food distribution services.
All right, we have a staff report.
Sure. Good evening. Stephanie Browning, Director of Public Health and Human Services. This is an agreement of services between the Food Bank of Central and Northeast Missouri and the City of Columbia in the amount of $500,000. And as part of this agreement, the Food Bank will provide 259,067 pounds of food for City of Columbia households. This is one of the agencies that council directed staff to work with related to the funding the city received for ARPA. And this was specifically to go towards a renovation, relocation, and branding of the new facility located up on the business loop. I think many of you have probably had the opportunity to tour the food bank or the new facility. So you know that they've made some significant progress, and we're coming a little bit late to the party with the ARPA funding on this. ARPA, the federal guidelines are very specific, their procurement guidelines on construction and renovation projects. And because this project was well underway, we're not going to be able to meet the subrecipient award agreement requirements. So what we are proposing is the most expeditious way to get the funding to them for the work that they are doing to renovate, relocate, and brand. And that is to do this purchase of services kind of agreement. So staff has been working finance, law, public health on all of these agreements, and we are very, very mindful of how you want the money spent. And basically, we are evaluating each and every one. We're applying, doing a risk assessment, and looking at all of the requirements of the Treasury to see which way we can contract. So some of these contracts that we will bring to you will be what we call subaward. Others are going to be an agreement to purchase some services. This one, we had hoped to be a subaward, but like I said, we are too far beyond that point, so we'll need to do that as a purchase of service. So we're getting the same thing done. It's just our manner of contracting. I do think that as we move forward, we're quite a ways into the process, that we may have some where we're going to have some challenges. And I think as staff, we've talked, our goal is if anything is going to change from what your intended use of those funds were, we will come back to you to talk about that and see how you want to move forward.
Any questions from council at this point? Nick Knoth?
Just on that last part there, that when those come back, will that be in a work session or a regular council meeting?
However you would like it to come back. I mean, it could just be regular. Depending on what you want, we can do regular updates that DeCarlin can send to you via an email. Here's where we are with the agencies left. You know, we can come in a work session. We can come as a report. We are open to whatever you need.
Well, I would say just from my perspective, regular updates are certainly welcomed and invited. But as far as changing course in terms of, you know, things changing, a work session seems more ideal to me than doing a regular council meeting.
Okay.
Anyone else from council with a question or a comment? Yes, Betsy.
I have a question. So we allocated $500,000 to the food pantry, and this needs to end on January 31st of 2027?
Correct.
So that means within 3 years, they will need to have used up that amount of money.
Correct.
For food. Is that going to, I don't know what their budget is.
Very realistic.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was my question. Thank you.
Yeah.
I would just ask, it seems that we approved a thing, the purchase of an item, and we're talking about these funds being shifted to the purchase of the service, the provision of the food itself. I have no doubt that they'll be able to use that money, and the demand for food is growing, and the food bank is being responsive in that way. So I think we're reaching toward what ARPA is intended to do, and that falls in line with what we were looking to do. I'm concerned about what as you mentioned, that moving forward, as we have these other agreements that come online, that we may have to adjust those as well. So hearing from staff about that and what the intent is and what the changes are to us is fine. I'll be honest, our work sessions are so overly scheduled as of now. I don't know that we'd be able to squeeze them in as much, but you know, I'd leave that to staff to make a determination about how best to do it.
I would think they would be short if we needed something.
Okay.
And, you know, and I would point out with the food bank, they still have a lot of costs associated with getting that building up and running. So any extra revenue they get in the form of this funding is going to help them with those costs.
I have no doubt about that. Anything else from anyone? No. Would anyone from the public like to speak on R-198-23? All right, I'll come back to council. Any other comments come to mind or questions? Sheila, will you call the roll on R-198-23?
Council Bill 198-23, Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Waterman?
Yes.
Ms. Peters?
Yes.
Mr. Knoth?
Yes.
Ms. Prophet?
Yes.
Mr. Lovelady?
Yes.
All right, thank you. That takes us to introduction and first reading. I'll ask Sheila, if you will, please read the items under introduction and first reading.
All bills are introduced by the mayor unless otherwise indicated. Bills 298-23, 299-23, 300-23, 301-23, 302-23, 303-23, 304-23, 305-23, 306-23, 307-23, 308-23, 309-23, and 310-23 first reading.
All right, thank you. That takes us to reports. First one before is report 7023. Do we have a staff report?
Good evening. Christina Wolf. I am the assistant to the city manager as well as the liaison to the Downtown Columbia Leadership Council. The Downtown Columbia Leadership Council is requesting that they change their name to the Greater Downtown Leadership Council, as well as add a member to represent the Loop CID. They feel the name change better describes the area within their boundaries, not just downtown Columbia. Their boundaries also include portions of the Loop CID. Therefore, they request a member or designee from the Loop CID be appointed to the DCLC.
Okay. Any questions from council about this? Yes, Nick Knuth.
I had a number of questions on this that I engaged with on staff, and they're still forthcoming with some more information, which I appreciate. So I would not want to make a recommendation on this until all of that information was provided regarding the Downtown Leadership Council and its future.
Information provided from whom again? You're looking for information from whom?
Before? Christina and staff regarding the council.
What's your pleasure about this particular report?
You want us to hold off?
Yeah. Okay. I'm making any recommendation.
Will the information be shared with all of us?
Absolutely.
Yes, yes. We can do that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Christina, does this sound reasonable to you?
I think the council would be okay with it.
I imagine there's no urgency in changing anything.
Okay, so we're going to hold off on approving this until we hear that further information. Is that amenable to everyone up here?
Yeah, it is to me, because I mean, I think of the downtown as Broadway and two or three blocks on either side. So if we're adding the CID, and I'm not opposed to it, but I mean, the Loop, that's okay too. But I mean, is this contiguous or it's not, or it's bits and pieces? Does this involve the Forum area then also?
There's a map that we can have pulled up.
Yes, and Dalton has that map.
Oof. Okay, could Dalton pull that? Dalton, there behind the curtain, can you? Here he comes.
And so if you look at this area, it's a lot larger than just the downtown area.
That's what the recommendation is to change it to, or that's
no. That's the existing.
Okay, so the Loop
area for the
square part.
So the green is the current, the loop, and the...
The green is the current CID. So the yellow is the Downtown Leadership Council boundary. So the yellow is the current boundary. The green is just the downtown area. And so what they're saying is because of the size of this area, it's a lot larger than just the downtown. And so that's the reason why they want to change the name. And also because it takes in part of the business loop, they want to include the business loop into conversations that affect that the Downtown Leadership Council.
Is this, isn't there also a taxing entity for this?
So the CID is has its own separate tax, is a tax district. And so that's not, so the DLC is not necessarily a taxing district. The CID itself is. And so that's kind of some of the confusion of everything, is we had the DLC before we brought in the CID. And so now you have these different structures that are within itself.
And the green that's in the northern part of the map, that's the loop CID, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we have two CIDs. Portions of which, all are portions of which are represented in the DLC.
Correct.
Thus, there a reason to ask for the change in the name?
Yes, sir.
I just want to add, all of this is why I want to postpone it, because I think there's more of a discussion to be had around the purpose of the Leadership Council, its past, its future, what it should be called as representative of that. I kind of think some of this is the answering the question of a purpose for existing. What are they doing? What are their priorities? And that's some of the questions and engagement I've had with Christina and staff to get that information so that we can then have a more informed discussion about this as a whole.
Go ahead, Roy.
So all of this area is residential area.
Mm-hmm.
How is that talked about and spoken for? And we're adding one person for the loop, but you also have all this residential area.
There are residential members on this board as well. It also includes Columbia College and MU.
A couple of the neighborhood associations, Rory, like the Douglas Park Neighborhood Association, North Central, have designated seats where folks from those areas can apply to fill those seats on the council.
But are they filled?
I believe so.
I believe fully, yes.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you're wanting a larger examination of the purpose of the DLC as it is now, vis-a-vis the downtown district, and then what the functions of those two groups are apart or separately.
Right. Just discussing the future of this, and if there needs to be one.
Okay.
And to discuss, I mean, and to Roy's point, a lot of this is residential. How is that involved or not involved?
Well, I think that's part of what distinguishes the two. The DLC includes residential, whereas the district CID is not so much. I mean, I'm sure there are residents within the district CID, but the DLC is, there's much more residential in that.
See, I'm getting lost in just the names.
Yeah.
Right. And
that's
what
I'm saying. Let's just postpone this for now.
Well, go ahead, Don. You've had your hand.
Well, no, I was going to say what I would ask as far as this additional information. You've got the downtown CID, which I think is different from the district, and then you have the business loop, which is separate from the loop. So how do they overlap both in purpose, function, coverage, and so on? So if we can kind of get that to make that part of the larger discussion that Nick is talking about.
I'll get that
for clarification, the downtown CID is the district, I believe.
It is.
And the business loop CID is the loop. They just call themselves something different.
Okay, thank you for that.
But the Downtown Columbia Leadership Council's area is obviously different from those two. And it doesn't have a funding source.
I think this would be a great topic for a work session.
Yes. Expedition.
We can have one just on boards and commissions.
Yeah, I agree.
All 50 plus.
That I never heard from.
A good one. Mm-hmm.
Well,
have.
Again, you know, while that might be a great idea, I am concerned about scheduling for that at this point, and that might go forward pretty far forward into the future for
able
to.
But I think the earliest would be March.
Well, let's put it on.
There's no hurry.
Okay, so can you restate what you're looking for here, Nick?
I don't know what the word is because this isn't like a formal thing, but
I don't mean just
to postpone any decision on this request by the DLC. It's not shooting it down, not saying yes, just postponing a response to the DLC at this time. That we this requires more discussion on the part of council and staff.
And adding work sessions for March.
And adding it to a work session in March, I suppose.
Okay. Sheila, you going to say something? No.
No.
Okay. This doesn't require a motion, I guess, at this point. We're just going to ask staff to come back to us with some of this information. So can you handle that,
yep.
Christina?
I will get that.
I'm sure you can. Thank you.
Thank you, Christina.
The next one is report 7023, and I believe we have a staff report.
So last October 2022, we hired RRT Engineering to do an evaluation of our recycling and waste diversion programs that included our collection methods, an evaluation of our material recovery facility, our drop-off centers, did a waste composition study, and did a contamination study of our recyclable materials, and did a comprehensive review of everything. And we did a work session in July, I believe, where they gave some preliminary results, and they finally got their final report finished in September, and we thought it important to go ahead and forward that to council and make you aware that they got a lot of recommendations in this report. There's a lot of decisions that need to be made moving forward, and that we're going to need some direction from council on some of these. You know, they got four different options for our MRF. Well, one is just shut it down all the way to the other extreme of build a brand new $28 million facility. Well, as staff, we think that there's something better in between those two options that will probably make a lot more sense, that take a little bit of time to discuss, and if we could get a work session. And they have recommendations on drop-off centers, you know, closing some immediately. Well, that's not a good idea until we get recycling collection at the curb started back up. They suggest that we automate curbside collection of recycling, and we are working on putting together a program that could do that. I did have some numbers in there that are based on money we are spending to automate refuse collection, but if we leave this a voluntary program, that'd probably be reduced by at least half. And depending on whether it's weekly or every other week, it might even be a little bit lower because we wouldn't have to have as many trucks. You know, items such as, do we discontinue collecting glass? That's something we need to talk about. Creating an environmental center at the landfill is a very interesting concept. I think there'd be a lot of benefit to that. But these are things that we were hoping we could get the report in front of you, and then if you desired, you could have a work session to provide us guidance.
Thank you. It's a 223-page report, but I really do recommend reading the executive summary. That's 7 pages, and I think it probably does a good job of summarizing everything that's in the rest of the report. I'll open it to questions and so forth. I just want you to know that I am going to recommend that we schedule a special work session for January the 22nd. I checked with Sheila about the mayor's schedule, and it looks like it will work for her. So I'm going to recommend that, but are there any questions previous to my recommendation of staff?
I would just say a work session sounds like a really good idea for a 223-page report.
Oh, to be sure.
I don't have any particular questions, except don't change anything. That'd be my recommendation at this moment. I mean, I wouldn't be closing any of our recycling.
No.
Or anything else. What?
I wouldn't propose closing anything at this point, particularly until after we do have a work session. I also wanted to point out that in the executive summary where it says temporarily cease operations and address safety concerns, we addressed those when they were brought to our attention. So they have all been corrected.
Good.
Yeah, Rachel.
I see under the curbside collection that staff is currently developing a plan for implementation. Will that, if we do a work session, will that be available at that time for
yes.
discussion?
Yes. Okay. Yep.
Thank you.
Mine's more to your work session request.
Okay.
I would just want to know, like, the details in terms of when. Is that going to be like a 5 o'clock or a 7 o'clock or before agreeing to?
Sure. I don't know that we established a time, but I would recommend 5:30 would be a start. Or 6 o'clock. I'm amenable to whatever you all think.
Whatever works for those that are working.
Yeah, that's what I have in mind.
I assume that's something we can figure out after the fact, because we've got some time between now. I mean, we can pick the day, but then figure out the time. Not right now.
Okay. All right. So are you all good for the 22nd?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure, we can let Sheila know what our availability is, or right. She can figure it out.
Yeah.
She figures all that stuff out for us anyway.
Okay. Well, it's a very interesting read. So, and it's challenging too, no doubt. All right. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Takes us to report 7123. Can we get a staff report on that?
So, yes, this is a project we'd like to use the administrative public improvement process on. It's to replace an 8-yard refuse dumpster located on Hitt Street between Locust and Elm Street with a 14-yard compactor. It would consist of installing electric service, some concrete pavement, some signage, and then placing the compactor. It's on city-owned property or right-of-way, so there's no property acquisition required, and it should improve the solid waste services in that area of the CID.
Questions from council? I think this staff's recommendation that we approve this process unless we want to go to a standard public improvement process. I assume, DeCarlin, you're supportive of the proposal.
Yes, sir.
To be done in this way. Okay, in that case, it's informational, and we appreciate it. Report 7223. You're still there.
I'm still here. So we've got the Hinkson Creek Collaborative Adaptive Management Process that was created in 2012. It was kind of an agreement we came to with EPA, MDNR, the university, the city, and Boone County to address a TMDL that was on Hinkson Creek. And they've created some different groups that work inside of that. And one of those groups is the stakeholder committee. And this is basically the stakeholder committee's reports for 2021 and 2022, just provided as information that we forwarded to you once we've received them.
All right. Anyone have anything? All right. Thank you, Dave. Report 7323. Okay.
We provided a report on the transit study. The city manager asked the Public Works provide an update that we have currently underway. The report outlines the scope of the study and the work done by the consultant to date. Consultant return in early in 2024 to conduct another public meeting and gather additional feedback. There will also be able to convey the data generated by the onboard survey attached to the report. We're blessed with some Safe Street for All grant money, as I mentioned earlier tonight. Should we determine there's additional study or scope necessary to be explored? Mike Sokoff, parking and transit manager, is with me tonight, and we're happy to answer any questions you might have.
Questions from council. Shane, at what point do you think you're going to be using the information we're receiving from the consultant to be actionable in some way?
So the information they gained at that first open house, they anticipate being back in February or March to have another public meeting. So they'll have the results of that information that they've gathered so far and also ask for additional feedback. And then from there, we expect late this fiscal year to have a report.
And then making use of that report, I assume, to come with some recommendations about what happens with transit moving forward?
Yes.
Anything else? All right. Thank you. Report 7423. King staff. Mr. Liu.
Yes, in the packet tonight, you have the general fund year-end report. It is an unaudited report, but it is a pretty accurate comparison of where we think we're going to end up after the audit is complete.
Any highlights on this? I mean, you're saying where we will end up, but this is a final quarterly report, so we don't have a final report.
No, the audit won't be complete until first meeting in February.
Until we get the audit, we won't really know fully where we are. Do you anticipate it'll be much different than what we're seeing here?
It shouldn't be too much different from this. It may be off a little bit, but we'll have some accruals and different things that might change the numbers a little bit. But for the most part, this is pretty solid.
And in general, would you say we're hitting our targets and our anticipated revenues?
Revenues, yes, we hit the targets. But expenditures, for employee expenses, we were off quite a bit. And we actually spent less on employee expenses this year than we did in 2022. So I think a lot of that has to do with the amount of vacancies that we have. And once we start filling those vacancies, though, I can see that for 2024, those numbers coming up.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And I'm going to stay there for report 7523.
No highlights for me, but any questions I'm willing to answer.
Pretty short report. I don't see any.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. All right. It's an opportunity for general comments from the public. Council and staff will start with the public. If anyone from the public would like to speak, please come to the podium.
Eugene Elkin, 3406 Range Line. I don't know if the council thought of this or really what has just took place, but the mayor, of course, is in Dubai. Do you mean to tell me that Columbia, Missouri is so wealthy that we can send our mayor to Dubai? Don't that mean the homeless are living kind of poor in poor conditions in Columbia, Missouri, and we send the mayor to Dubai? My own nephew got sent by a job here in Columbia, Missouri, to Dubai. I see that as, I'm glad for my nephew, but I don't see the reason the mayors together in what would be considered the number one spot in this entire world, Dubai. In the last few months, I issued a warning to all of you, including the current City Councilor Nancy, Sheila, wherever you might go, any of you women, this gentleman, I put out a notice to every one of you. He was here on the streets, and I have never put out a notice since the year 09 that I've been fighting for the homeless. But apparently in the last couple of weeks, they caught the guy. That was a long time ago that I put this notice out. When I'm saying something like this, I really, really want you women to hear my voice. When a person can say hi and flip right in front of your very eyes, I had to deal with this person. I pretended to be friendly and make conversation and knew never to turn my back to him. Please don't take the streets of Columbia for granted. If somebody like myself steps up and warns you, I ain't got time for BS. This ain't rumors. I try my best to tell straight facts. The fact that she's sitting in Dubai is sad. Instead of being happy, I see a real negative friction for the future. That means that city taxpayers' money are going overseas when so-and-so group needs money over here in Columbia, Missouri. Please consider these choices in the future as a city council person. Do we want to have that image? Do you really want to show that Columbia can be that far out and let others starve?
Thank you. Anyone else from the public would like to speak?
Chris Jones, Second Ward. A couple of comments on things that happened tonight. I believe it was Mr. Sorrell who sat up here and said that the public didn't want to hear this, but we met all minimum standards in regards to the water treatment, which obviously is not true because we did get something from natural resources or the people, the Environmental Protection, who said that we had earlier this year violated some water quality stuff. But my question is the number one research community in the state, are we as a community okay with we meet minimum standards? And my thing is no, we're not. Julie's been up here before and said that she's spoken with Aaron Abrakovich, and she said that we're basically the next Flint, Michigan, with how bad our water quality is. We have very little time to turn this around, and meeting minimum standards is not good enough. The other thing was that Stephanie Browning said something about that they're worried about the time limit that we have, that they're finding that they're going to have to change around some of the ARPA funds, the expenditure, because they don't have enough time to get the money done, or they've already had to go through enough of the process. So for example, for the food bank, where they can't spend it on the branding and they can't spend it on the building itself because it's already too far along. So my question is that how many of these are we gonna come across? Because she's already said, or tonight, that we're gonna have multiple of these happen. My worry is the Opportunity Campus. We've barely done anything. We wasted so much time, and we've got our unhoused community members who are hurting. And my question is there going to be enough time? Because I don't think there will be.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public like to speak?
I live at 1715 Gordon Street in Columbia, Missouri, and I'm sure excited and proud of our mayor to be in Dubai. I'm really excited that the Mayor's Associated helped fund it, because we are seen from an international perspective, and things are really wonderful here in Columbia, Missouri, and I'm proud to be a citizen. There are so many wonderful things happening with our sports teams and with the expansion of our university, particularly in reference to the new $220 million expansion for renewable energy, and soon to open the nurses' hospital, and not to be short-sighted in seeing the importance of Roy Blunt and his contribution to his center. And radiology is how we diagnose, and cell signaling is how we cure. And using the mirror to create these isotopes is so important that I would like to see us dream bigger and create a utopia, and bring people here from all over the world and change our vision as it relates to an international airport. And we should call it Daniel Boone International, because this new generation of aircraft is so important, and we have the ability to span I just don't think we dream big enough. But it's exciting to be a part of the growth of this community, and I'm proud to call myself a citizen of Columbia, Missouri, and of Boone County. And thank you very much, particularly for the leadership of Dr. Peters. She's the only one I see caring for the homeless. And she's actively engaged in this community of a way that's sustainable and meaningful, and I sure hope we do something about the 200 acres and we move forward in reference to writing grants. Because a community like this to get 200 acres is so important. And we need to move forward and ask the council to put together a plan in order to build a vision to move this thing forward. And I know Bruce is interested in it. And I know other of us want to see this happen in a more dramatic and effective way. And thank you for your leadership. It's really a wonderful place to be right now. And I'm so proud of my Tigers. Six of them made the All-SEC. And our basketball team is second to none. Things are happening, and I like to be part of a community where things happen, where people make it happen. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Would anyone else from the public like to speak? All right, we'll move to council comments. We'll start with Don.
I think the only thing I want to comment on is pleasure to be here and be part of the new era with the Columbia Police Department. So congratulations again to Chief Saluti, and wish you the best, and know that you have our full support.
Okay, Betsy.
I just have a question, I think maybe for DeCarlin. I don't know if you want to answer this now or if you want to wait till it's your turn. But I believe that the funding for the Opportunity Campus is solid from the city, and it will be used in a timely fashion. I don't anticipate that to be any change. We haven't voted on that yet, but we certainly have given them either a memorandum of understanding or the understanding that they are getting the funding from us, and I think they're breaking ground sometime this month.
Yes, ma'am, and we're working through the contract right now. I think there's a misunderstanding with the comment about the food bank. It wasn't the timing of the process. It's the fact that they've already started the construction part. And because they've finished the construction, we can't use ARPA funds for the construction, which is what they asked for the funds for.
Okay. We can't retroactively.
We can't retroactively pay for it. So if they,
We should be okay with the Opportunity Campus.
Yes, ma'am.
Sort of my bottom line.
Absolutely, because they have not started. They haven't not started the construction part of the process.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
All right, Nick Knuth.
I also want to echo congratulations to Chief Saluti and to our new council member up here. And just say that I'm confident you both know and aware that you now serve in roles larger than yourselves that serve a greater purpose than any one person. And I have faith in both of you to succeed and wish you nothing but success, because your success is our community success. On a different topic, kind of circling back to what we were talking about, both related to the DLC and the work session for recycling, a thought, we could combine the two and discuss both at the same work session, since we're taking the step of scheduling an independent work session. Just an idea, doing that in January instead of March, just throwing it out there.
Well, maybe you can just take that into consideration, DeCarlin, about timing for doing what's been asked for and be able to do that at that time.
We can look at that. I mean, it may be a long work session, but we can see if we can put both of those in.
Okay. Rachel.
I just want to express again, I'm very excited to begin, and this has been a fabulous first day up here. So thank you all for your support. I'm very excited to see the recycling report come through. As you all know, I was instrumental in getting the ban removed on the roll carts. So to see this sort of go to that even next phase beyond roll carts coming March 2024, to see what we can do for recycling is going to be huge, because I've heard from a number of constituents that they support, they want to see more for recycling here. They're struggling with it now. They want to do better. So to be able to have the city support that is really exciting. So, and also I'm all about time efficiency. So, if we can combine those two work sessions, that would be fabulous. I echo that. Yes.
All right. Roy.
Just a few. While I'm really excited to get grants for the city and planning for the consultants, and the sidewalks. I really would like to see some more grants or that will be more towards implementation so we can actually, okay, it's great for planning and getting the consultants, getting the facts, the data, but yeah, can we get some stuff done? what's right here, this young lady. It's slipping my mind, I'm sorry. Yeah, Chris, I really like how she talked about the water and the minimum, because when we were doing our pay scale and comp study, we wanted to lead the market. So if we're leading the market on making sure that our employees are getting paid, wouldn't we want our drinking water to lead the market as well? So I would love it if we could up our standard on our drinking water. Last but not least, I would like to say thank you to Columbia College. I'm really happy on the benefit package that we will be receiving, and I'm really disappointed that council isn't considered workers of the city so that we could receive those benefits as well.
Are you making an appeal?
Yes, I would love to make an appeal to make us employees of the city.
Get Roy some books.
Yes, I need more than books.
I just wanted to say another about ARPA. There are 28 total agreements that are to be executed. With the last meeting and this one, we approved seven of those, so we're moving along, and I anticipate the staff is going to continue to do this in an efficient manner and to get us going, to get the money out the door. That's what we've wanted to see all along, and I'm confident we'll be able to do that. There will probably be some other adjustments just because of the time lapse that we've had since we first were awarded the funds and the applications were made and then they were awarded. But I have no doubt that we'll be able to continue to meet needs in the community with those funds. So thanks, Stephanie, and the rest of the staff for helping to move us forward with that. I'm about to call an end to this meeting and bang this gavel one more time. Thank you, Roy. I asked him to be my second tonight, so there he is, stepping up. DeCarlin, Nancy, do either of you have anything for us?
I don't have anything.
All right. I just want to say thanks to Sheila for helping me work my way through this tonight. We are dismissed and adjourned.